This is a presentation from Narara Valley Baptist Church, a church that's desperate for God and passionate for people.
Well, this is kind of strange, particularly because there's like a handful of people in the room, but I'm not going to look at you guys because I want to look directly through the camera lens at every single person. You know, I've been thinking this morning about the kind of people that might have been in this room if we were in different times and how many people I would love to just look around the room and look in the eye and just have those little moments of connection. So I'm going to do that through that camera lens as best as I can. And if you're watching this and we've been in community together, I'm looking at you, not in a creepy way, but just in a genuine connection sort of way. I will stop rambling now. I'm going to read from Matthew chapter 13, one of my favorite parables. It goes like this. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree so that the birds come and perch in its branches. We'll come back to that. This morning, I want to share a few stories that are looking back, and then I want to maybe look forwards a little bit. And as we look in both directions, I want to invite you and myself to try and open our eyes to what God may have been doing and what God may continue to do if we have eyes to see it. So the looking back part. Well, as I shared a little earlier this morning, it was almost 5 years ago when I started to work here at Narara. But 5 years ago in November, my life had changed quite radically, and I was sitting in the newborn intensive care unit of Royal North Shore Hospital. And my life had obviously changed quite radically because I had just become a parent. And some of you may know our story a little bit, but that first week was quite an intense ride in the NICU. But one part of my time in the NICU that not many people would know about is that is where I finished writing my application to apply for the role of young adults pastor here at Narara. So in between all kinds of emotions and these early days of parenthood, I remember kind of, you know, filling out the selection criteria and sending off my application. And when I did my interview for that role, I was such a zombie, like I was so sleep deprived. What a miracle that I obviously said something coherent enough to be trusted in this place. But it was basically 2 months after becoming a dad that I started in my pastoral role here. And for me, that has been a significant kind of intertwining the whole time. For the last 5 years, I've been learning how to be a dad at the same time as I've been learning how to be a pastor. I'm definitely not doing either of them perfectly, but they have been kind of woven together in a unique way for me. Now, I want to wind the clock back 2 years before that, so about 7 years ago. And as Craig mentioned, Sam and I had moved up from the ACT from Canberra, and we had just sort of begun the process of, you know, figuring out what life was going to look like for us here on the Central Coast. And we were looking for a church, and part of what was significant about that was it was going to be the first church that Sam and I chose together. It's going to be the first church where we kind of weren't known in relation to who Will's parents were in my case, or who, you know, Will's girlfriend was in Sam's case. And so it was quite significant. You know, any church that we ended up at was going to be pretty significant to us because it was this place that we chose together. It was this place that we kind of didn't have a history and we could be just Will and Sam in kind of a fresh way. And so Narara is that church, and it will always, for the rest of our lives, be such a significant place of formation, of community, of finding home, of meeting wonderful, beautiful people who are still many of our closest friends. So that was 7 years ago. But I want to wind the clock back just a little bit further still. And before we made that move from Canberra, where both of us grew up, to the Central Coast here, we were having lots of conversations about church, about what church is, what it could look like, what it had looked like for us. And at that time, I had begun to engage with material from a guy named Hugh Halter. And if you've heard, you know, any sermons by me, there's a good chance you've heard Hugh Halter's name. But I was starting to kind of watch some of his sermons online, read a book by his called The Tangible Kingdom. This is like 8 years ago. And part of Hugh's story was that he had started a church in the States that was essentially made up of like little micro churches. It was very much based around homes and tables and in the neighborhood, these kind of house church style gatherings that ended up being connected in a network of smaller churches that grew. And there was so much about the way that Hugh spoke that just resonated deeply with Sam and I, to the point where when we were thinking about what kind of church we would, you know, become part of after moving, we really thought we're going to look for something small. We're going to try to be part of maybe starting something or being part of something that is at the small level. So all of this backstory here basically, to me, is kind of like there was some mustard seeds in us 8 years ago. And when we moved to the coast and we started to come to Narara, it was actually a surprise to us in many ways. We had already begun to think about gatherings that were smaller, that were kind of a little bit more aligned with what somebody like Hugh Halter was doing. And so it was actually a beautiful and wonderful surprise. When we found deep community at Narara. And, you know, me and Craig were talking about it just before, but actually through Craig being my agent and sort of spreading the word about my spoken word poetry, I got to meet Hugh Halter at a conference about a year after moving here and becoming part of this church. And now, at this point in time, we have started this new gathering, this new expression of church that looks a lot like what we were thinking about 8 years ago and yet wouldn't have come to pass without this place, without people like Craig, without people like many of you who have encouraged us and invested in us. And I kind of look at that story and I sort of see a kingdom of God is like a mustard seed sort of thing happening. I see this tiny little seed, this tiny little spark, this little conversation we were having 8 years ago. And I see these interwoven pieces of how actually this was exactly the kind of place that would help to form that seed into something more than a seed. And what we are seeing now as we create new spaces for people to come and engage in community around Jesus is so tied to what happened back then. But we have the benefit of hindsight now and it all looks kind of like we planned it, even though we obviously didn't. I'm telling you this kind of long-winded story about 5 years ago and 7 years ago and 8 years ago because I think it demonstrates the unfolding tapestry that God is constantly weaving together in our lives, and often we don't notice it. It's not really about the will story, but it's just about all of those little seeds that in our lives come to be in ways that we didn't expect. And this church and its kind of courageous and somewhat vulnerable embracing of both church planting and an openness to what we call a mixed economy of expressions, churches that look different ways and have different approaches, this is exactly the kind of church that has allowed that mustard seed to grow up into something tangible. And I just think that is so wonderful. And one of the things I love about it is that it demonstrates that big and small can be friends, can be collaborators, can be siblings, do not have to be against each other or oppositional. I think that is incredible. And I've felt this tension, you know, in recent years. Between sort of loving this church so much, having such deep space in my heart for this community, while also acknowledging that becoming more of Christ's body on earth will always lead us into a multitude of expressions, a multitude of environments, a multitude of spaces. And whilst there can be a temptation at times for the new to look like it's setting itself up as a critique of the old, I think it's so much more beautiful to see God in every one of these spaces and to see that God is maybe not taking sides in our disagreements or our different approaches, but God is in every one of these spaces gently and continuously opening people's eyes to the kingdom of God that is at hand wherever we find ourselves. So let's call that the looking back part, the reflective part. So much gratitude in that. As I think about it, I could talk for days about all of the little memories peppered throughout that have just been so formative and so beautiful and so encouraging to us, but I won't spend too much time on that. Because we are here now. And hindsight might make all of that look like we planned it, but in the moment that we're in right now, we don't have hindsight for it yet. And it's a strange moment, isn't it? it's a moment that if we could go back in time a year ago, and I could tell you that a year from then, you would be watching this through your computer or your phone or your iPad at home, and we wouldn't be together in this building. I don't know if you would believe it. I don't know if I would believe it. But I'm very curious as I think about our strange moment. I'm very curious about what comes next. And I believe that something is happening in the soil here. You know, at the beginning of this year, at the beginning of 2020, when we were probably a lot more optimistic about what was to come, we discerned this kind of vision as a leadership team with Craig's leading, you know, seeking God. And the kind of vision for this year was good soil. And this idea of believing that there was things to come, but at the fundamental level, they needed us to tend to the soil. You need good soil for gardens to grow, for healthy things to come forth. It all kind of rises and falls on the quality of the soil. And whilst we had no idea what was coming, the kind of 2020 horror show, I think it's actually pretty fitting as we consider the disruption that the worldwide church is grappling with. It's not just Narara. When I talk about this strange moment, the whole church around the world is grappling with what does it mean to be church through these times of significant change. You know, we are in one of those moments in history when the tectonic plates are shifting, when the paradigms are changing, when the past and the future are overlapping, and we're in that awkward spot in the middle, kind of being stretched between different things, kind of not knowing when it's going to feel like the dust has settled. But this moment here that we are in, this moment of live streaming church, this moment of being more scattered than gathered, this moment that we find ourselves in is not a rival. This is not the destination. It's part of a transition. It's part of a journey. And it's that change means that for some of us, this time has been terrifying, has been incredibly anxiety-ridden, has been very unpleasant. For some of us, maybe it's been exhilarating. Maybe we're early adopters and innovators, and we're kind of excited about dreaming about what could be. But for all of us, whoever you are, we're in a time that requires deep faith and trust that God will make his church, and that we have an invitation to participate and join in, whatever it looks like. And so as Sam and I and some of our wonderful friends plant a church that looks in many ways quite different to NVBC, and as NVBC grapples with what comes next after this strange moment in time, and as churches all around Australia and all around the world grapple with what it means to be the church in the times that we live in, I guess I want for my last sermon here this morning, for some of these last words, and don't worry, I will be popping up again. There are people that have told me, you know, kind of somewhat threateningly that I need to come back at least four times a year. And I said, I reckon I can do something like that. And definitely that's been Craig and my conversation. I love this church. I want to continue to come back here. But for today, this is a moment of kind of some finality. And I want to leave us together dreaming about what the church is at its best. And I don't think that's about size or shape or style or denomination. I think it's something much deeper than that. I've been reading a book the last couple of weeks called Everywhere You Look by a guy named Tim Sorens. Now, I think probably every sermon I preach has some sort of rave book review. I'm an enthusiastic guy, but seriously, you got to read this book. I have been highlighting, like, to the point where there's less of the book not highlighted than highlighted, so it's the highlights kind of mean nothing. And I did seriously consider at one point just sitting up here and reading the book out loud this morning instead of doing this sermon, but I'll leave you with my strong endorsement and let you go and read Everywhere You Look by Tim Sorens, or just go and listen to a podcast with him or something. But basically, the idea of this book is around shifting our thinking from having seen the church for so long as a time and space bound event. Church is something we go to. Church is something we do at a certain day of the week, a certain time of the week. Church is 9:30 on Sundays. And this book is about learning to see the church everywhere you look, learning to see this collaborative team of God's people dispersed throughout our neighborhoods, conspiring together to point towards the kingdom of God. And there's this point that Tim makes that I wanted to share with you this morning that I think is a fantastic thing to think about. He talks about the kind of questions we ask when we think about church, and he observes the following. He says, "I'm convinced we live in an era when the foundation of much of our society is being questioned. The commonly held assumptions of why many of our institutions exist have been escalating to a point of a tipping point of deconstruction and confusion. And when we ask what this is, we are quickly asking questions of philosophy, essence, or ontology, i.e. the study of being. These are fruitful questions, but when we ask, what is it for, we are quickly propelled into a very different conversation. When so much of our energy and attention is invested in fighting over what something is, we can actually lose sight of what it is for." I think that is an incredible observation. And I'm guilty of being part of conversations where we try and philosophically define what the church is. There's nothing wrong with that, but can you feel the change in energy when you ask, what is it for? It actually adds some movement to the question rather than just a static definition. And often when we ask what the church is, we do spend a lot of energy talking about the shape, the size, the structure, the worship style, the denomination, the theological positions, and that's fine. Those are all good and fine questions. But when we ask what it is for, it seems like it might take us back to the underlying why that ought to be true in any denomination, any size congregation, any shape or style of worship that we find ourselves engaging in. I wonder how you would answer that question. What is the church for? You might want to share a thought in the comments if there's something that comes to your mind, or use it to spark a conversation in your household today. You know, when you're sitting around your lunch table or your dinner table, get people in your family to share. What do you think the church is for? There are many answers we could wrap around that question. And I think it would be a healthy thing for us to each do that in our own voice and with our own engagement with what God might be saying to us through that question. But I think that at its very essence, that question should be a reminder that regardless of our differences, the church everywhere shares a common reason for existence, a common purpose. And I think it's pretty safe to say, I don't think it's that controversial to say, that the church is for joining in the work of Jesus in the world. We are supposed to participate in what Jesus is doing in our own lives, in the lives of our neighborhoods and communities, in our workplaces, in our economy, in our schools, in areas of injustice. We are here to participate together as a team in what Jesus is doing in every sphere of human existence. Rather than giving you a lofty kind of description or using big theological terms this morning, I would prefer to draw on story and metaphor, because that's what Jesus does. And I can't think of any better picture as I grapple with what the church is for than this little mustard seed-sized parable, two little verses, about mustard seeds. These two verses say so much. the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. And though it is the smallest of all seeds, when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds can come and perch in its branches. You know, there were these tiny seeds in Sam and I 8 years ago that have come into being in ways we did not expect. And I hope they still have plenty of growing to do. I hope there are many more birds that might come and perch in these branches. And I know that there are stories like this scattered abundantly throughout this community. I know that many of you have these wonderful stories of the kingdom of God is like this little mustard seed, this little idea, this little spark, this little thought that I had, this little connection I had that grew into something that I haven't even stopped to notice recently. They grow up around us in these ways that we often don't pause to see. But suddenly there is a garden growing around us, overtaken with this disruptive, wild plant. And the thing about the mustard seed is it grows outwards rather than upwards. It's not like a mighty oak tree, or there's these other kind of trees that Jesus could have talked about. But this kind of plant grows outwards. It is kind of like a weed. It is wild. It is disruptive once it gets going. It is hard to keep it behind the boundaries. It's highly adaptable. I think that's an amazing picture as we think about the church today. We need to be highly adaptable, like this plant that just finds a way to grow in all kinds of conditions. And it creates a place of shelter. I love the birds in this parable. I love it on two levels. At face value, it just sounds lovely and welcoming, doesn't it? This little seed grows into this big plant, and birds come and you know, find a place in its branches. I imagine it just like a nice little picnic on a beautiful spring day. But the second reason why I love the birds in this parable is that actually at the level the original audience would have heard this story, those birds are unwanted. Farmers don't want birds to come and land in their garden, in their trees. But the kingdom of heaven is a place of welcome for the unwanted guests. The kingdom of heaven is a place of lavish generosity. The kingdom of heaven is a place of flipping social expectations. It is a place where the unwanted are welcomed. Not just welcomed, it is a place where they are elevated, where they are heard, where they are given dignity back, where it has been taken away from them. The kingdom of heaven is a place of radical welcome, and it grows in this kind of disruptive, outward way. If you look through the Gospels at who Jesus welcomes, and you can see who the church is for, not just what it's for, but it's for the tax collectors, it's for the lepers, it's for the Samaritans, it's for that Roman centurion, it's for the children, it's for the blind beggar, it's for the paralyzed, it's for the widow, it's for the orphan, it's for this strange collection of disciples, it is for the crucified thief next to Jesus. It is for Jews and Gentiles. It is for those who have been a part of the religious system for a very long time and those who have never been welcome within it. We get to be a part of flinging open a big, wide welcome for all kinds of people to see the kingdom of heaven right where they are. There are mustard seeds here in this moment, in your household, in your hand, in this dispersed community, in this point in time. There are mustard seeds here. I don't think there's ever a shortage of these mustard seeds. Do you see them? Do you see them in your life? Do you see them in the communities that you're a part of? Are you paying attention to those tiny little things that when planted and when working in collaboration with the Spirit, they grow up into these disruptive signs of a different kingdom and a different way? God is doing something even now. We don't have the benefit of hindsight yet, but we have an opportunity to exercise trust. And what feels like death is usually just what comes before resurrection. I have to believe that. To me, that's the whole reason to follow Jesus, is that everything in my life that feels a little bit like death might just be the other side of resurrection. Every ending is a beginning. And as things pass away, they pass away to make space for the new thing. And right where we are, the seeds of the kingdom of heaven are within us and around us, just waiting for us to partner with the Holy Spirit to create a disruptive, welcoming garden everywhere we find ourselves. Whatever kind of church, whatever style, size, denomination, we share a common reason for existence to partner with Jesus in what he is doing in this world. Now, obviously, I should finish this last sermon with a poem because that's kind of how I roll. So you've got a book recommendation. Go and read Everywhere You Look by Tim Sorens. And, you know, as I just acknowledge that it's easy in a sermon to sound very optimistic, but I never want to brush past the real pain and struggle that we find ourselves in. And as I talk even about resurrection and death, it sounds poetic, but it doesn't feel that poetic when you're feeling something that feels like death, does it? But I believe that God is making all things new. I believe that that is the essential gospel promise, that God is about renewal in us and around us. So here's a poem about that. I hold some words in the pockets of my well-worn soul. I pull them out when I'm slipping through my own sense of control. I hold them tight between my fingers and I take a deep breath. And as oxygen expands my lungs to push against my edges and I let go, empty myself, become defenseless, I bring these words to my tongue to taste if they're still true. Six simple words. I am making all things new. I am making all things new. But at first those words taste like never, never land. Like, is this plane gonna ever, ever land? I get new pain, but my hope feels secondhand. Do you know what it feels like when everything is just a gradual falling to pieces? It's all cracks and creases, all fragmented pieces raining down around us in no logical sequence. And I honestly wonder at times, why are we still here? If there's a new thing to come, this could all disappear. And maybe this universe would be better without us. Sometimes I'm pretty sure this earth would be better without us. But then I'm reminded that every cell in my body testifies to resurrection. Every part has once passed and yet sparked new flesh. And this person standing before you is literally being made new. And the body I once wore when I tore others to pieces with my arrogant opinions I had attached to the name Jesus, well, every part of that body is replaced over time. And still it continues to be redesigned, realigned. I am becoming refined. And that seems about as real as grace gets, that the parts of yourself that you struggle to live with are the graves where new flowers are birthed in the image of the one who brings new from the bones of the old. We aren't discarded, we're told we hold treasure like gold in the very fragile substance of yours and my souls. And make no mistake, this story is not one of evacuated souls. It's an incoming kingdom. Incarnate and whole. It's skin and bone and mud and mess. It's the creator of all things humbly dressed in this very flesh, bagged up dust that is etched with the imprint of God on our spirit-laced breath. And the design does not end with decay and death. Christ turned death to a palette to paint life from. And yes, all things will be turned inside out and wrung upside down like the king of the cosmos wearing thorns for a crown, like life bursting forth from a valley of dry bones, like the meek ones inheriting the earth as their own. This all things new is not a whitewashed product from a distant manufacturing facility. This maker is a little more into sustainability. This new is the barbed wire fence in the hands of a jeweler. It's the sword beaten into a plowshare. It's genuine asylum to be found here and on Manus Island. It's love in place of silence. It's hope instead of violence. It's a return to the true form that was originally inside us. So when you feel yourself slipping through your own sense of control, keep these words in the pockets of your well-worn soul. Hold them tight between your fingers and take a deep breath. I am making all things new. God is making all things new. And that includes you. Let me pray for you this morning. God, I thank you that the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, that though it is the smallest of all seeds, it grows into the largest of all garden plants, and the birds come and perch in its branches. God, I thank you that your church takes all kinds of shapes, sizes, and forms, but you are doing something in the soil. You are doing something in us, through us, and in your church all around the world. I pray that you would show us where those little mustard seeds are, those little dreams, those little ideas, those little sparks, that we could collaborate with you to plant and to see them come into being in ways we did not ask or imagine. I just want to pray a blessing on every person watching this morning, every person who's a part of this community. And personally, I want to say thank you. I have enormous gratitude for the ways this place has shaped me and has been a part of bringing things forth in me that I did not expect coming. So I pray that you would continue to do that work here and that you would open our eyes to all the amazing ways that right where we are, even in this moment, your kingdom is at hand. In Jesus' name, amen.
This has been a presentation from Narara Valley Baptist Church, a church that's desperate for God and passionate for people. To continue the conversation, we invite you to join us Sundays at 9:30 a.m. and 5 p.m. or on our website at www.nvbc.info.